Welcome to the One Speed MMA podcast with yours truly, Flying Smitty.
Carson Wood.
Welcome back after the vacation. We're doing this apparently bi-monthly now instead of once a week. We'll get there. Life gets in the way, as you guys know. You know, if you have to watch a UFC fight every week, you can't catch all of them.
Well, I feel like this should be the time of year that we do it more consistently, and it's like summer's just busy.
School.
Busy summer.
Work. It's a cool.
And we're sorry towards
cool
y'all.
Summer. It's a cool. Lots to talk about today. Let's get right into the show, as Gary Vee would say. Ultimate Fighter finale. So I didn't watch this. I watched highlights of it. I didn't see the Jesse Taylor fight at all. I didn't see the DKC versus Close. I did see the Cannonier fight because it was all of like a 45-second fight. No, man, I missed most of this.
Cannonier wasn't 45 seconds.
Did he KO him in the third?
Yeah. He beat the crap.
What they were saying. They called it, right? Like a mercy KO or whatever?
Yeah, I actually started watching it at work again today.
That's too bad. I like Cannonier. I didn't watch any of this. That's weird.
It was a good card. Well, the 155er showed up. Travis.
Maynard versus Ishihara on the Fight Pass prelims. We actually lost the fight off the beginning of the card. I can't remember which card it was or which fight it was. I think it was at one of the female fights. I kind of figured that if Ishihara couldn't stop Gray Maynard from wrestling, he wasn't going to strike with Ishihara, who's a much better, maybe not better striker, but has a better chin and most likely would have clipped Maynard if they would have fought. And so the fact that he won by a decision where he had 11 of 11 takedowns doesn't really surprise me much. I don't know why Herman and Dalloway are still fighting, but it sounded like Dalloway basically just controlled that entire fight as well with his wrestling. Torres finished her fight in the third, but let's get into the main card that you watched. Who are you the most impressed with? And tell me a little bit more about the Johnson-Gaethje fight.
Gaethje. So probably most people would say they'd be most impressed with Gaethje. What was impressive about him for me is that he called everything. He says if you watch him, if you watch Johnson, he quits. 100% quit, in my opinion. I guess I can't say that. I've never been in a fight, so I can't say, oh, that's what he's doing. But, I mean, it looked like he literally kicked his feet out from under him when he got hit the last time. And then he just sat in the corner. He looked fine. I mean, other than being bloodied and beaten, but he didn't look like he was out of it.
Other than getting beat up for
2 minutes.
Other than
that thing where he, like, got punched a lot. Yeah. But, no, it was a good strategy. You literally heard his cornerman tell him, if you want the knockout, start with the body. He started with kicks.
Yeah.
He didn't really work the body, and then he started to. The other thing is he's that, like, old Terminator style of, like, you just keep, like, he always had him on the edge of the cage. Mm-hmm. And he started with his legs, so he couldn't really angle out, it seemed like, as easy. He couldn't use his speed quite as much. So I think most people would say Gaethje, considering it was his debut. But honestly, I think it was Jakar Close.
Is it?
And how the hell that was a split decision, I have no idea. I don't know what the hell judges are doing now. I don't care at all of the rule changes or even going back and forth. Like, if they change,
this is Nevada, so they wouldn't have their old rules.
Even still, even if you're saying they keep going back and forth, it's the last card, it's this one. One, they're different judges, and two, like, if they came into work and said, oh, well, now we're changing this product, you have to sell it this way now, I have to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I just go back to the Guida fight, how that one of those judges did, like, had the other guy winning. I can't think of right now who Guida was fighting. And Guida didn't have a single 10-8 round. I don't understand what a 10-8 round is. I haven't seen somebody utilize full mount like that in a long time. Like, where you couldn't even turn to give your back. Anyways, my standout, long story short, is Jakar Close. Because he went against what seemed like a better athlete.
Stopped the
high
game
plan.
Yep.
He also kicked the legs and took those away from Jakar. He kicked his calf early on.
Which is crazy to me because he still did not a double kick, but where he pitches the one first and then, like, kick to the body, kick to the head.
Yeah. Jakar, the even after he lost his leg, everybody talks about his athleticism, and this is part of it, I guess, but what I was really impressed with him is balance. I remember, like, when I was sparring, there was almost this Machida-level guy, and, like, I would kind of bait him into things and then get inside, and all of a sudden, like, he was on one foot kicking me with his other foot, like, and I was in on him, like, within a foot.
That's crazy.
Like, his flexibility and balance, and that's kind of what I noticed with Tracy. He can throw these crazy things, and he doesn't lose momentum or balance at all. He always has his feet under him.
Did you see the Tavares fight?
Yeah. I just watched it again today at work.
Was that a pretty good fight? I thought like Elias always goes the decision, and they either are like just them pacing back and forth, or that he's actually like full on striking.
Theodoro was had crazy cardio,
mm-hmm.
crazy cardio. It seemed like Allen Iverson though, where he's just throwing a bunch, and yeah, he'll hit a lot, but it doesn't really seem like good output. Like he swung and missed heavy a lot of times, but. I mean, he's got a pretty decent record so far. But
So I mean, did Tavares win that handedly?
No.
Was it a split?
No.
So just a unanimous?
It was unanimous. But, I mean, Tavares, he won. It's kind of like the Jose Aldo where he stood there and they traded, but he was kind of more standing flat-footed, moving his head off the line and picking his shots is what it seemed. It's kind of hard, though, because Theodoro
head movement.
Very unpredictable.
Head movement. Yeah, man, I wish I would have watched it. I did watch the highlights of the main fight. It was pretty nutty when you watch freaking Rock'em Sock'em Robots where one guy almost goes down and then the round ends and then they come back and the other guy ends up winning it by knockout. And it's very fascinating to me because I think Michael Johnson, as soon as he hit Justin Gaethje and had him kind of wobbled, he threw himself out. And I think that he came back in with the third round thinking that he was going to finish it and then was just gassed. And he couldn't take any more beatings. I mean, the part that I watched was right at the ending of it where, like, he was against the cage and he wouldn't even get his hands up to block his face. And it's like, if you're so tired you can't block your own face, that's a really, really bad situation.
I will say this about that fight. Gaethje was impressive. And I know that, like he said in his fights, he gets clipped all the time, almost like Frankie Edgar. Yeah, that's kind of what it was reminded me of. Just Frankie seems a little bit more technical, but if I'm just eyeballing it and just calling it that way. But I feel like he could have lost to Johnson just as easily as one. And then also, I think he loses to anybody. I don't have to double check it, but loses to anybody really in the top eight.
Anyone that doesn't get punched in the face and uses their head movement to get out of the way?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good wrestler, too, so he hasn't really showcased that. I'd like to see him against a wrestler to see if... Because he knocked Johnson down and then made him get right back up.
Yeah. No, yeah, I did see that part. So let's move on to UFC 214 and all of the... No, sorry, 213 and all the drama that was this card even before it started. TJ and Cody Garbrandt were supposed to be on this card. Cody Garbrandt got pulled because of his back. Donald Cerrone and Robbie Lawler were supposed to be on this card, and that got pushed back because of Cerrone. And then Nunes and Shevchenko were supposed to headline this, and Nunes ended up being sick the day of the fight after being cleared and not making it to the fight, which left us kind of... I mean, this was still a good card. I think... A year ago, 2 years ago, when Verdum had their prime, I think this card, and say Whitaker is where he is now, I think this card could have sold as a low end pay per view.
Going back to the Nunes thing, I was going to ask you if somebody just flat out refuses to fight. A couple questions, because Dana kind of threw under the bus, or if Chael Sonnen's probably talking about it, threw under the horse. If somebody says they can't fight even for a sinus infection, with how much emphasis we're putting on fighter safety, do you think to a certain extent the USC should obligate them to fight?
This is a really weird conversation. I mean, it's a conversation that needs to be had, and I think it's a conversation a lot of people are having, but at the same time, like, it's very odd. I feel like back in the day when people were fighting for like a $1,000 paycheck, and if they didn't show up and fight, they didn't get paid. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't get paid, they couldn't support their family. I mean, I'm glad that those days are over. Like, if a champion can't fight and doesn't feel like they're at their best, or doesn't feel like they're gonna go out there and just get beat, that they can actually, you know, step aside. Like, that's great to have, but at the same time, people are buying tickets, people are spending money, people are flying in, families are there, all of these things are happening, and then someone just doesn't show. And so it's a weird catch 22. If I had tickets, and for some random reason that's the fight I wanted to watch, let's say it's Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo, and I flew in for Conor McGregor and Jose Aldo drops out, I would be pretty distraught about it. I know that they were allowing refunds, and they had signs outside the stadium allowing refunds if you went specifically for Nunes Shevchenko, which I doubt anybody did. I think this fight, out of any fight, less people cared that it didn't happen. But I don't think the same day of the fight, if you're medically cleared, that you should not fight. Just get a freaking neti pot and clear out your nose.
Well, and I mean, so a couple things. I think we should put more of an emphasis on, if people can't fight, then we give them the leeway. But one, I was happy to hear they gave Shevchenko $70,000.
Yep.
And then, but also, if you're a champion and you don't fight, the other person doesn't necessarily get your belt, but you lose your belt.
Yeah, you forfeit it.
On the same hand, and this kind of gets me nervous for the next card for 214. I remember when they got over and we were at Travis's and it was 11:15. I was ready to go home. And if there would have been another fight, I'd have punched myself in the face. And there's three title fights on the next one.
Yep. Well, I mean, so let's think about it like this, though. Most likely what would actually happen, say Nunes doesn't fight, she forfeits her belt, Shevchenko gets to fight for the belt against someone on the next card or like a month from then or whatever it is. How often do you think people don't fight because they're like, oh no, I need more than a month to prepare for that opponent. Or no, it was a harsh weight cut, so I need more than a month for the title fight.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you think that ends up happening?
I don't know.
I mean, you look at Jose Aldo, you look at Frankie Edgar, you look at all those people that were supposed to step in and fight Conor McGregor, and then nobody ended up doing it. I think that wasn't the Mendez fight. Who ended up actually stepping in against Conor McGregor? Oh, it was Nate Diaz.
Hmm?
Yeah, that's when that fight came to fruition.
Yeah.
No one else would step in, which was just absolutely... I mean, and I understand injury and short notice, but I mean, that was when Jose Aldo was like, I'll do anything for a rematch, just give me the rematch. And then he was like, oh, no, not right now.
Except for right now. I mean, I didn't realize.
But that makes you worry about USADA. That makes you worry about a lot of different things of like, oh, just out of nowhere, you all of a sudden don't want to fight?
At this point for me, I don't even care if it's a legitimate reason. If you can't fight, you lose your title. There's no interim. You don't get the interim. Like, there's no interim.
You just forfeit.
Actually, I'm fine with just doing away with interims. I don't understand them anyways.
Yep.
It means nothing to me when somebody holds an interim belt. And I think we've talked about this before at length. I'll just say this. If you don't show up on fight night, especially day of,
yeah,
you're done. Like,
You've made weight, after you've been medically cleared, after all of those weird things.
And it's getting to the point, it's not even that. Once you sign the contract, if you don't show up, if there's a legitimate reason, then you need to take care of it. Totally like fine.
A car wreck or a motorcycle wreck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be on a motorcycle fight week.
Well, not even that. Like, once you sign the contract, because, I mean, we're the ones paying the money to watch you. Yeah, you should have your own life and everything, but, like, at the same time, like, one, every division's pretty much held up right now for one reason or another. If you put it on pen to paper and you can't fight, the only thing, and I hate to say it, that I think is maybe legitimate that we could do an interim for, I'll still take a hard line on it and say no interims, but Conor. Because, yeah, I mean, he is doing something weird. But
you want to know the weirdest part about interim titles? Sorry to
no, no, cut go. You off. No, you're good.
People that have the interim titles, like Whitaker and Romero, Whitaker is considered the true champion because Bisping hasn't fought and won't fight. And he did win the belt fair and square, and it wasn't an interim fight. But I feel like people are like, yeah, Whitaker's the true champion. He's going to beat Bisping when they fight. And then you have someone like DC, who had the interim belt, and now he has the full belt. But now when he fights Jones, it's the fake interim title. Like, there's certain divisions where the interim title is the real title, and there's certain divisions where the interim title is not the real title. Like Max Holloway, Jose Aldo. It was like, oh, Max Holloway has a fake belt until he fights Jose Aldo, and then he won.
I think it's all based off person, right?
Yeah.
It's not so much. Oh, yeah. It's like who do we like the most? It's dumb. And and the John Jones thing, it's not even like, I guess this is going back to when it was an interim, but I mean, he does, they're saying that he's the true champion. I wish that DC would just turn to him, and when he was like, I beat you, you never beat me, how could you be the champion? It's like, life beat you, John Jones. Yeah.
You beat yourself.
You went against life and you lost. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I don't understand why they're a thing. It's just a way to hold up every division.
Yep.
If you can't fight, you don't. And I mean, number one contenderships kind of get hairy too. I almost feel like if you don't show up for a number one contendership, Khabib, like 9 months off or something, like not 9 months from fighting, but before you could fight for the title again. Like, I'm so sick of cards falling apart. And I guarantee you, if you said no more interim belt and you lose your belt, people are going to start showing up.
Yep. So, what do you rank this card?
Yeah, it was okay. How do you like? Do you like it quite a bit?
I liked it just because I like Curtis Blaydes. I like both Romero and Whitaker. Verdum and Overeem, I don't know if you read this yet, but Verdum's going to come out and it's challenging the decision that he feels that he should have won the fight. And I don't think he did anything. I mean, he did clip Overeem once, but I think Overeem did win that fight. I just don't.
I'd have to rewatch it. I don't remember anybody really walking away with it at all.
I just don't. I agree with that. It could have gone either way, and it doesn't matter. But I just feel like Verdum is one of the weirdest fighters out there. I don't know what it is about Alistair Overeem, but when he fights Overeem, he does not come to fight. When he fought Stipe, he came to fight. When he fought Kane, he came to fight. When he fought Mark Hunt, I mean, he was a little timid, and he did counter-strike on a knee. But, I mean, it still seemed like he came to fight. When the last time he fought Verdum in Strikeforce, that was one of the most boring fights I've ever seen, ever.
Did you know they fought in three different promotions?
Pride, Strikeforce, and the UFC, yeah.
Super interesting. Yeah. I don't think any other trilogy will ever be able to do that because, I mean, Pride doesn't exist, nope. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Strikeforce doesn't exist.
Gegard could fight someone that he...
You could do 1FC or, like, no, because World Series of Fighting's gone, right?
WSOF. No, I think they're Pro Fight League or something like that now.
Pro Fight League, and then if you went over to, like... You'd have to come over to the UFC at that point, both of you, and then you would have to eventually get old and go do it in Strike or Bellator.
It would be like if Michael Chandler came over to the UFC and fight Eddie Alvarez, and then they both went somewhere else.
I feel, yeah. Well, they already fought in
Bellator.
I feel like, well, that's
they fought like four times in Bellator because they were the only two fighters Bellator had forever.
I feel like that's what you'd have to go backwards, though. I feel like you have to start in something below Bellator, and then you work your way up to the UFC, and then when you've lost your luster, you got to go back to Bellator.
Like those guys in the Ultimate Fighter, they're like, before they were in the Ultimate Fighter house, they actually met in Legacy Fight Association, the LFA. That happens. What about Pettis and Miller, man? Do you think Pettis' win over Miller really means anything?
Yeah.
He says he felt like his old self, but I think he felt like his old self because he was fighting someone from the division when it was still his division. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they kind of moved on without him.
I mean, he looked good.
I mean, yeah, but Jim Miller hasn't looked good lately.
Didn't he win in 200?
Yeah.
And he's only had one fight since then?
He beat Joe Lozon. He lost to Dustin Poirier, and then he won three in a row, but then he lost two in a row. He beat Joe Lozon at 200.
No.
And Joe Lozon hasn't looked good for a while.
No, he didn't. He fought Takanori Gomi.
At 200?
Yeah.
Oh, and but then Gomi.
Then he fought Joe Lozon at Fight Night on August. He fought a lot.
Yeah.
He went July, August, November, and then in February. So, I mean, he won three or maybe more than that. I got to expand out. So, two losses, three wins.
And but his wins aren't that impressive.
First Takanori, round TKO over against Takanori Gomi. Joe Lozon. I mean, a split decision, but it was a good fight.
Yeah, it was a good fight. But Joe Lozon just got trashed by what's the Scottish dude's name? I can't even remember what his name is. I mean, he's an up and comer, but I mean, he just got starched by the kid.
That whole, I mean, that's that. I don't know how many times I have to say it. That's that division.
I feel like Jim Miller used to be one of my favorite fighters. I was one of those guys who was like, Jim Miller needs a title fight. Jim Miller needs a title fight. And now I feel like he's past his prime. And I don't feel like Anthony Pettis' win over Jim Miller really means anything.
Well, the loss to Poirier, too, was majority decision. It wasn't even a split decision.
That's right, because he out-wrestled him.
So, I mean, it's not like he got... It was fight of the night. It's not like he got destroyed. Dustin Poirier is really good. Like, I don't think he's really fallen off. I think Anthony Pettis had a very, like, good fighter in front of him, and he just had a really good performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, Pettis looked good. I don't think Miller has been the same for a while, but I really like the dude. I wonder where he goes next, honestly, because neither of these dudes are... I don't even think either of them are ranked anymore, right? Is Pettis not even in the top 15?
I doubt it, but he will be.
They don't have names next to him, or numbers next to him.
They will be ranked. Well, Pettis will
nobody
be ranked.
Does. They removed him after the... Nobody's got their ranks next to him. That's cool. Pre-fight.
Why don't they?
I don't know. Most of the pre-fights do. You want to know the weirdest part about this card? Mm. I was watching the Jordan Mean Bilal Muhammad fight. There's still a lot of Jordan Mean fans out there. And they were saying that his fight was at the same time as somebody else's UFC debut. Like, his first amateur fight was on the same card as somebody else. And it was, like, almost 20 years ago or something like that. It was, like, just ridiculous. And so I was watching it live stream when I was watching it. And I was watching it on the live feed on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many people that were like, oh, man, I just want Jordan Mean. Jordan Mean's got to finish this round. Or Jordan Mean's got to do this to come back. Or, like... It was just very, very bizarre to see how many fans that he still had.
Mm-hmm.
When I felt like, more than even so than Jim Miller, I feel like Jordan Meaton is way past his prime.
Mm-hmm.
Laprise looked really good, but here's what I want to talk about. Travis Brown, Alexei Oleinik. I actually called that this was going to be Oleinik by submission, put some money on it. Not that that matters, but Dana White's calling for Travis Brown's retirement. What do you think about that?
Did you DM him?
I thought he actually put it on Twitter.
Well, did you DM him to tell him about that? Like, they should retire. Twitter.
Yeah, they should. Yeah, I did. I was like, "Yo, Dana,
I haven't had a retirement in a while.
I have the sixth sense of when someone should retire, and that's now. It's his time.
I actually have it right before they should retire, and you said it to him before that fight happened, right? When you put the bet in.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh man, he needs to retire. I'm putting this bet in.
I'm
betting $5 against him. He needs to retire."
He ruined my parlay that I would have won like $2 on like a whatever
dollar. Never parlay. Oh, this is forever ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid Arlovsky fight.
But I was going to something with this. He should retire and he should become a bounty hunter because apparently someone robbed Ronda Rousey in his house and he caught the thieves.
They were right across the street in the park.
Yeah, they were trying to sell the TV right out front.
They came back and tried to sell it to him.
Ronda's man recounts catching the thieves who robbed his MMA. Ronda's man, I love it.
Well, that's what she referred to him as.
Travis Brown tracked down punks who robbed her.
That's what she goes, my man's like 6'4", 270 pounds. But, I mean, he just a little intimidated him a little bit. Like, he's not scared of him. Like,
oh,
he's
no.
Walked over there and he's like, yeah, take our TVs. They took her gold medals.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that how he found them? Is they had them around their necks?
They had set up a podium on the picnic table.
Yeah.
Holding their hands up.
No, man. This is my gold medal.
I'm a women's judo champion. No, a bronze champion, right? Yeah.
That's funny. I'm pretty sure that Travis Brown could take a bullet. Like one. In a non-fatal area. Like if he didn't get shot in the face or like the heart.
Can never be taken down by a bullet. You ever watch that show with Leonardo DiCaprio? When the Old West?
What?
Walking horse can't be taken down by a bullet. Can't be taken down. He's been shot, and he won't be killed by a bullet.
Is that like Bull Tooth Tony? You die, Tony.
Yes, exactly.
You die now.
It's like that, but in the Western. And then they give the preacher only one bullet to kill the Indian that can't be taken down by a bullet.
And he gets him?
Yes.
Does he baptize him?
Well, he actually has to shoot him twice. So his hands are handcuffed. He only gets one bullet. He shoots, and the guy goes down. The walking horse, I think is his name. I might be saying that wrong. And then somebody from the crowd throws him another bullet while his hand's handcuffed.
Did he swing it and catch it in the
No, this is not
chamber
Dark
at
Tower.
The same time?
This is not Dark Tower, Justin.
Oh, sorry.
This is a Western.
Yeah, so is that.
It is not a Western.
It's a future Western.
That is not a thing, unless we're talking Westworld, where it's literally technology that creates Westerns.
Yeah.
That's not the same. That's not a Western.
Dark Tower is
just because they have revolvers doesn't make it a
Western. Future spaghetti Western.
No.
Anyway, don't ruin the movie for me. Don't tell me what happens.
For what?
He already did. He uses the second bullet.
Well, that's like at the beginning. There's a lot more that happens.
Oh, so he doesn't die.
Babyface Leo's in it.
How old is this?
Has Gene Hackman? Leonardo DiCaprio?
Oh, no, you're talking, what's eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. autistic Leo with a gun.
Yeah, autistic cowboy Leo.
No, Gene Hackman was not in that. I'm going to have to actually look this up. This is going to bug me if I don't
That's all right. I'm going to talk Curtis Blades for a second while you do that. Yeah. So I really like the guy, but all I can do is wrestle. Nagano beat him because he can strike, and he stopped him from taking him down. But he's actually, other than losing to Francis Ngannou, he's undefeated in the UFC, Curtis Blades is. And he beat the crap out of Cody East and sent him packing. So I'm real happy about that.
I was going to say, you probably love that.
What do you do now with Overeem? He's a number one contender. He just lost to Stipe. He beat JDS, and now he's beat Verdum was the number one contender, and he just beat him.
I don't know, man.
Right? The heavyweight division is just a cluster. Kane's still injured. JDS has been a weird shadow of himself. Sometimes he looks amazing. Sometimes he doesn't. And Stipe's looked somewhat unstoppable other than kind of being clipped by Overeem.
It's the Quick and the Dead, by the way. But it was in 95. I don't know what you do with Overeem.
What do you do with the heavyweight division?
Let them all back on steroids.
Uberim. Oh, speaking of which, Joe Rogan actually called him Uberim in a promo for that fight. Not in the promo, sorry. The first fight came on, and they were discussing who was going to win this. And they're like, well, Overeem has won it every time, but Verdum seems to be the better fighter at this point. And he's like, well, the thing is they fought last time when Overeem was Uberim. I mean, both fighters are... his point was like, both fighters are in completely different places, completely different mental frames of mind, and a whole bunch of different things.
You move them both to Bellator, and you let them fight in Bellator.
Just like Strikeforce?
Yes.
You let them fight again?
For the fourth time.
Fourth. Because Bellator would be the new one.
And then 1FC.
Romero versus Whitaker. What were your thoughts on the fight?
Really impressed by Whitaker. And I thought he was older. He's 26.
Yeah, he's a young kid.
Romero's
40.
Yeah. If I was like eyeballing it, I'd be like, they're about the same age. They're probably 32.
There's a conspiracy theory on Reddit that Yoel Romero doesn't age.
Does it look like he does?
Mm-hmm. And that he actually won the Olympics when he was 10.
There's actually legitimate theories about that with soccer players. Like when you have Renato Sanchez like bursting onto Bayern Munich, and he's like 18 and destroying people in the midfield, which he had a terrible year this year. Or Falcao, they're saying that they don't. Actually, Serge Ibaka had the same thing happen to him, and he had to make a statement about it. Yeah, well, he was pissed because they were saying, like, he's like, I don't come from a jungle. I come from a very proud nation. We have appropriate hospitals and facilities. They know how to do birth certificates, essentially. But in soccer, it's because so that they can, like, oh, it's like this 18-year-old. He's this good now. By the time he's 27, he's going to be amazing. Like, and so they feel like they'll get more money, which they probably will. In actuality, they're 24 or 23 at the time is the theory. So it might be real with Yoel. He might have won it when he was 10. Or
really, he's 50.
He's been lying to us this whole time.
And he actually won it when he was like 30.
He's a freak of nature, man. In the best way possible. Like, I mean,
Whitaker stuffed two of his takedowns, man. Whitaker's takedown defense, he stopped an Olympic wrestler from taking him down. That's
three times.
Super impressive.
And
he ended up on top at the end.
I feel like he hit out of his range on Saturday. And I don't feel like he's going to be a dominant champion.
But people felt that way against Souza too. There's only so many times you can strike out of your weight or your range or whatever and it be a fluke.
I don't think it's a fluke. I'm not saying he's a bad fighter. I just don't think he's going to have a ton of title defenses. I don't think we have the reincarnation of Silva and that he's going to light up that division.
It's interesting because he has a very basic looking fight style. Mm-hmm. Like, if you watch him, nothing looks special, nothing looks different, nothing looks advanced. He just does what he does very well. He picks his shots, he times things, he defends the takedown. Like, he's just solid.
GSP was a little bit more flashy as far as like striking and things like that, but it's almost like that. It's it's what's effective. Why use anything that's not effective? Where you have like Darkacy, like I said, he has crazy balance. Mm-hmm. He's throwing all sorts of crazy kicks, but he lost the fight. Whereas the exact opposite, you don't see him really do crazy things. He goes up against an Olympic wrestler, stuffs his takedowns because he practiced it over and over and over again. Doesn't make it look super flashy, and then he picked his shots.
Yeah. So speaking of that, speaking of Bellator, speaking of a lot of different things.
I think it's Bellator.
Bellator. Well, do we know when Bisping's supposed to fight? November, something like that? October?
They told GSP, because he's texted both of them, he will not get the fight.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed.
Yep.
And I love that they did that.
Dana White seems to be more like cutthroat again.
Remember, your last name's McGregor.
And he tells him. I actually watched the interview before the fight pass fights came on where they were talking to him. And he's like, I give him more leash because he shows up to his fights.
There's a lot of people that show up to their fights. He does because he makes him more money.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, Jose Aldo pulled out of a fight with him. Who else did? Somebody else did, too. And Jose Aldo did twice, right?
I mean, Anderson Silva shows up to every fight. He saved the 200 card.
Yeah. He shows up more than when he actually
needs to. It's not like he gets a leash.
But let's talk Gegard Mousasi. Gegard Mousasi beats Chris Weidman, kind of controversial, and then goes over to Bellator. You think it's a good move for him? You think it matters?
I think it's indicative more of a problem with the UFC, and this goes back to not letting people hold up divisions. Mm-hmm.
He did bring that up.
I didn't get to watch it. I'm assuming I kind of know where they went, but I watched a little clip, but I didn't get to watch the full 23-minute thing.
I watched like the first 10 minutes.
Okay, and you can kind of fill me in on it a little bit, but I just feel like not knowing too much about that story, it's indicative of an overall problem where people are going to wait and wait and wait. Like, he was on a 5 or 6 win streak, mm-hmm. 6 or 5 fight win streak.
He's just not – people from Pride know him. But other than that, like, if you say, oh, who's Gegard Mousasi, most people are going to be like, I feel like if I saw him on a card, I would recognize him.
Right, but I mean – and again, like I'm not completely broken up that Gegard Mousasi's leaving. Bellator cards are free anyways, so if I want to watch him, I can.
Not the last one; it was pay per view.
That's not going to be consistent. But I'm going to be upset. We lost the Ben Henderson. That's super sad. We just lost Gegard. We're going to lose.
Roy McDonald's gone.
He'll come
back. Ryan Bader's gone.
Rory McDonald will come back. But
yeah, most likely.
I'm trying to think of another division that's held up right now. Like
155
could lose a lot.
Well, Max always. Never mind. Sorry.
No, you're good. I could lose a lot. Well, and actually, 145, too. They just keep, like, just what this Frankie Edgar's fourth title fight in 145. They might start losing like your Cub Swansons and things like that. So
Cub Swanson's got his announcing career though, so I think he'll be okay. Speaking of, there he is, Stevie Ray. He's the one to beat Joe Lozon. He's on the next card. Yeah, it's very interesting to me because he straight up got a better deal from Bellator, and he said the UFC got really close to what Bellator was offering towards the end, but they couldn't. You know, they didn't match what Bellator was doing. He said Scott Coker is a really good guy that he can trust, and he's like, I don't have anything against Dana White. I have nothing but, you know, respect for the UFC. They also took good care of me when I was there. But he's like, the title fight, that is one of them. He's like, the title situation is weird. He's like, good for, you know, Robert Whittaker, but he wins one fight and he jumps 3 positions and gets an interim title fight, and he's like, nothing against him, but that, you know, that's where I should have been. He's got a good point, but I mean, Whittaker won, and I don't think Gegard beats Yoel Romero.
Well, think of like if they lose because they can't figure out like 170 or finally give Damian Maya a shot, like they're going to start losing high level guys like that. And Gegard is a high level guy that can test somebody, and you can have, even if he's not going to wow you, getting a win over him in a title defense is big.
Yeah. I think anyone that ever worked at Strikeforce or fought at Strikeforce could easily go over to Bellator. So Jorge Masvidal, I could easily see leaving. like a Luke Rockhold I could see leaving. I don't see the Diaz's ever going, but like I could see like a
Nick got suspended again for 2 years.
Yeah. For that's not it. Telling the USADA where he was at any like, given time.
For on like and off for like months. 12.
He just didn't care. He didn't couldn't have given two.
I hope he kind of like baited them and was like, yeah, I totally am going to fight again. Okay, where are you going to be? And just like never return their calls.
We just had Nate there saying that he was Nick.
Yeah, man, what's up? This is, hey, that's a lisp. That's not Nick.
Yeah, you're not Nick. Apparently people still call Nate Nick all the time. He's like, it's all right. At least they know one of us. They just seem like such nice people, man.
At least they know one of us. It's amazing.
At least they know one of us. It's just weird, and it is indicative. And it's very interesting when the UFC fighters go from the UFC over to Bellator and lose. I mean, I think Marcin Held is one of the only ones that's come over from another division and just has not looked good. And, I mean, he's looked good in his fights, but he just lost weird decisions. Like when he lost to Joe Lozon and he didn't lose.
That's the other thing that's, like, not really incentivizing the UFC to keep these guys.
Yeah.
If they keep going over there and lose. Rory's going to come back. That's going to happen.
He's going to win the belt and come back. You think it's part of it that he's letting other people fight and not fighting immediately for the belt because they know he's going to win it?
Who?
Rory McDonald and Bellator.
He called out Chael.
Yeah. It's so silly.
I mean, I like to see it.
Yeah, he's going to make a ton of money on it. He's like, and he went to Bellator because of that. He wanted to make money. So why not?
Well, especially if, like, imagine him at, like, 205, because Chael's been fighting at 205. Mm-hmm. I know he's a 170-er, but, like, I mean, Chael's 185 normally, but Chael's been fighting at 205. Like,
you better be careful, though, because Chael, with a 20-pound weight advantage, trying to take him down is going to be a lot harder than if they're the same weight or close to the same weight. He's old, and Rory trains with GSP, but still.
Hey. Rory's fine. Rory's fine. He'll I know. He'll beat the hell out of Chael. I love Chael to death, but Rory will beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Like, bad. Like, John Jones bad.
Yeah. Unless he breaks his toe.
John Jones still beat the shit out of him.
He did. But he almost won. The fight would have got called. Could you imagine if Chael won the belt?
I would have loved that so much. Can you imagine?
That would have been probably
John one of the Jones two ever. Losses, downward elbows against Matt Hamill, and then losing a toe because he's too long and leverage just twisted it off.
Goodness gracious!
Oh,
all right. So
imagine Chael getting could never get the 185, but got the light heavyweight title put around his waist. Oh, can you imagine the trash talk that would have ensued from that?
And the next fight, leading up to the next fight, the only man to beat John Jones, the greatest fighter that ever was.
Oh,
and Anderson Silva.
Listen, I said I was. Oh my! I can't even. I don't even know because he's so much on a higher level than me for promotion. But it would have been amazing.
That's pretty good.
Couldn't you take one for the team, John? Lose that toe, man.
or don't win. Just wait until the end of the first.
It'd have been a great 2 years.
Because he would have never ever fought anyone else, and he would have made John Jones fight everyone else.
Yeah. He is one that will always fight.
So we've got the Contender Series, Tuesday Contender Series, starting tomorrow on Tuesday, or probably today by the time. So Dana White has a Contender Series. The concept is fighters that like...
Renaming, looking for a fight and trying to repitch it to network executives?
Basically, but they're doing it only on Fight Pass, so I'm okay with it.
So they don't have the imaging rights for looking for a fight, so they redid a series so they could put it on Fight Pass?
It sounds like they're just trying to make as many possible matchups as humanly possible. So this the concept of this is going to be like the redemption episode of The Ultimate Fighter, where like some episodes are going to have old fighters trying to get back into the UFC. They're going to have fighters that he saw while he was looking for a fight that he thought were good, but he'd like to see him fight one more time. He's going to have yeah, just up-and-comers as well as old veterans.
I'm not going to argue with fights in the middle of the week. I think that actually be easier than the weekend.
Well, Tuesday nights.
One, I can record it.
Go look at the guys that are fighting on this card. Most of them have pretty sketched records, and some of them look like the heavyweights this week look like Butterbean. And these guys would kill me. I'm not trying to say that, but this doesn't look like he's bringing on the best of the best. It looks like he's going to be doing like LFA style fights. Like he's basically, it looks like he's competing with those organizations and pulling the best or the highest from those guys, so they no longer have them.
I feel like this is going to be diamond in the rough kind of situation. You watch because it's the middle of the week, you don't have anything else to do. Yeah. And one, it's not live, so it doesn't matter. And then, or is it?
I don't know.
But then you're going to see a guy that really wows you. And it's something that you, like, I remember when I saw Weidman fight Mark Munoz. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like on Fuel or something like really weird.
Facebook Live.
No, it was definitely on TV, but it was like 618. It was like behind BN Sports mm-hmm. for like La Liga. Anyways, I remember telling everybody about Chris Weidman when he beat the hell out of Mark Munoz. And I kind of followed Chris Weidman because of that. I was like, no, dude, he's going to challenge for the title one day. I didn't think he was going to beat Anderson Silva. Yeah. I thought it'd be later than that when Silva left. But I think that's kind of what this is going to be. It's like, no, I saw this guy. I believe him a lot. And you're going to actually get more diehard fans for individual fighters. And then there's going to be a ton of awful fighters.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't going to be able to watch it because it's going to be damn near unwatchable. But I feel like there's going to be those diamonds in a rough that we're going to get some good storylines.
And I can agree with that. And like you said, I mean, any outlet for these guys to get a chance to pursue their career and pursue their dream, I'm all down for it. You know, there's a lot of promotions out there right now. I don't feel like he needs another contender series, but it is another reason to own Fight Pass, and I own Fight Pass, so I'm A-okay with it. Am I going to watch tomorrow? Probably, just because it'll be on at the same time that, you know, right before my wife gets home from work, so I'm just not doing anything as is. But is it any better than LFA or Cage Warriors or anything else? Probably not. Would I rather watch Cage Warriors promotion? Probably. But it's there. It's free. And you never know what you're going to see. So
it is not free. You are paying for it.
Oh, well, $10 a month, yeah, for Fight Pass. Well, 7-day free trial will get you for free. But the thing is once they win on Contender Series, what happens? Do they just put them back on Contender Series again, or do they get a fight in the UFC?
I don't know.
I hope he explains, because I don't know.
It's called Contender Series, so I think that immediately means you get a number one contendership.
Yeah.
Really create problems.
Matt Serra is going to be on the Redemption episode. Johnny the Tooth is coming back on the, you know, he's a world champion Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I found the criteria for that. It was something stupid. Like,
it was a blue belt, like above 45 division.
He's, I don't know. That was a weird thing. I was thinking he was like this real champion. No. I mean, he's still a champion. He still fought like high level guys.
He beat me in Jiu-Jitsu, but watching him roll with Matt Serra and him being like, oh, it's not fair. So can we talk about Khalil Roundtree and how often he fights? He's fighting again this weekend on Sunday. That's like a fight a month, it almost feels like.
Problem with it being on Sunday, I see the time, but I don't want to watch anything.
Is it in the morning?
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
It's at 12 p.m. Eastern, so 10 o'clock.
I love that. And that's the main card, right? Or is that the undercard?
Probably the main. Or that's probably the main card, I want to say.
I will watch Gunnar Nelson.
It starts at 10 a.m. Eastern on the undercard. Early prelims start at 7 a.m.
Yeah, that's my type of card, man.
And then the only problem is that it is not Game of Thrones. So
is Game of Thrones in the afternoon?
Anything but Game of Thrones on Sunday.
Why is that?
It's a holy day. It's dedicated to one thing.
Game of Thrones?
It's the Sabbath. I can't be watching other things that aren't Game of Thrones.
It's Red Sunday.
What's that?
It's Red Sunday.
I don't know what that means.
It's a red wedding.
Oh. I don't know. That already happened.
I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I don't know.
There's a red wedding.
Yeah.
But not today. I'm hoping there's a green wedding and there's not so much death. It's just sitting around and talking about how they can have renewable energy and
Vape Nation. So yeah, man, he fought
February 4th, November 26th, July 8th.
I guess not that often. Why do I feel like he fought super recent?
It feels like he did.
I think he was on a card and his opponent got pulled off the card, I think is what happened. And that's why it seems like he fought more recently, because he was scheduled to fight and then it didn't end up happening. I'm actually pretty excited for that fight because I like Paul Craig. He just comes out and does his job and just seems like the kind of guy that would bust your head open with an axe had you fought back, you know, against England versus Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
He did lose to Tyson Pedro, though. He got knocked out, so But he also topped a Brazilian, which is awesome. Stevie Ray, Paul Felder. Stevie Ray, I think, has got this fight pretty easy. He just beat Joe Lozon. Any striker that he fights, he usually kind of just runs through. I like Paul Felder, but I don't think he's got a chance against Stevie Ray. And
I'm excited for the Calderwood-Calvillo fight.
I am too. And Nelson Ponzinibbio, I'm excited for only because he's Gunnar Nelson. I don't think Ponzinibbio's got any chance.
You love Gunnar.
I do, man.
I want him to retire.
So much. Might as well. Calderwood versus Calvillo, man. That's a good fight. I think Calvillo wins it. I think she breaks the top 10, probably top 5, and then doesn't get any higher than the top 5.
Well, and Calderwood's leaving after this.
Is she going to Bellator or what?
No, 125. She's going
to because that's where she wants to fight.
Ponzinibbio, was his last fight in Utah, or did he have one since then?
He beat...
So that was a year ago.
Core, and that wasn't in Utah, I don't think.
No, that one was before Zach... So he's had one fight since then. So it went August 6th, February 19th. So the August 6th was obviously our card, and then he... So he's actually on a pretty
good Norton to live with Norton. So he beat Court.
The only loss in the last some odd years.
That was Court's Lorenz first Larkin. Fight back after a super long layoff. Norton to live is a solid though. Solid defeat or solid win. Norton, he's a French kickboxer and he actually looked really, really good up until that fight.
I don't think I agree with you coming out with this goes the same for Tito. Sure. I don't think I agree with Brazil and Argentina flag coming out together.
Oh, yeah, the half and half. It's a little odd.
I'm not for unification. I love that those two countries hate each other. And I love Mexico. Live there. But I don't think I agree with Tito coming out with two flags. Got to pick a nation. You don't get the best of both worlds.
What about tough nations?
Tough nash.
Vape nash.
Tough nash.
Vape nash.
No, I'm just kidding.
You want to know what I'm about?
Rep him. He's got family in both, I assume. What's up?
Puffing the biggest clouds.
Vape Nash.
Vape Nash. Timur's on this card, man. That's exciting. These are the cards that don't look like they're going to be super awesome, and then they end up being great because all these dudes have something to prove, so they have to go out there and just knock someone else out. Leslie Smith is back from the brink of death where she just got pummeled by Chris Cyborg, so that's good. Good to see she's not dead.
There was that brief moment you thought she was, but here she is on a card.
Sleeper fight that you need to watch is the Albert Morales fight on the undercard. That dude freaking fought Thomas Almeida, the guy that just lost to Cody Garbrandt. Not just lost, but about a year and a half ago lost to Cody Garbrandt. And he went out there swinging and went out there to actually fight and win, and he lost. But he looked pretty impressive in the first round, and he looked like he actually wasn't scared and really was there to compete, which was awesome against a top 10 contender. On his second fight in the UFC. And I don't know, I think he stepped in on short notice, but nonetheless, I gained a lot of respect for him in that fight. I don't know who Marshman or Janis are. Ray Felder will be a banger, and Calderwood Calvillo will be a good fight as well. So
Calvillo's going to be good, man. I don't know if she's quite ready to break on the scene, but I think she's going to be a solid contender here soon.
This will show Jonna Calderwood's legit.
I think Nelson was voted most likely to take his kids to school. Doesn't he not just look like a dad?
Where is he?
Gunner.
Oh, Gunner Nelson.
Look at him, man.
You know what it reminds me of? Really sleepy Mark. Like Travis Mark's brother, but real sleepy.
Also most likely to work a 9-to-5.
No, dude, he works the night shift. Look at him. He just woke up. He's got bedhead. He has to take his kids to school, so he works the 8-to-4 shift or whatever it would be.
That sounds like we're slighting him. 100% not. I just think he just looks. He's always looked like he's kind of bored fighting. He's like, well, what the hell do you want to do, Gunner? What moves the needle for you? Makes you tick, man? If that doesn't pump the adrenaline, what does? It looks like he's upset that he almost has to entertain us. Like, I'm do it because I'm good at it. I don't want to. Rather doing something else.
His last loss is the freaking Gunnar Nelson. I mean, Alan Joban. Sorry, fart. Last fart. Damian Maya. That's and he did lose it. He did lose a Rick Story by Rick decision.
Rickety Rick.
Rickety Rick.
He got rickety wrecked.
He did. Wow, it was a split. But
no. Well, Anybody that loses to a Rick from here on out, I'm saying he's got rickety wrecked.
Rickety wrecked. So I don't think he's got any problem with Santiago Ponzinibbio. Gunnar Nelson is in this weird limbo where he's too small for 170 but too big for 155.
So?
165.
What's this plan? Make it happen.
165.
Make it happen.
Anyway.
Be the champion at 165.
What else is going on? Anything else? What else? Did we miss something?
We get to hear about just the every time boxing decides that it wants to land in a freaking new country, we get to hear about the new press conference for the next 2 months.
Oh, it's tomorrow. So, or today, whenever this gets loaded, either tomorrow morning or tonight. How about Mayweather not paying his taxes and asking for a remission, not a remission, a basically getting it pushed back until after the Conor fight to probably use that money to pay his taxes? That's pretty damn funny.
I don't give a shit if people pay their taxes. I really don't.
That's pretty damn funny.
I know in Europe people get like super butthurt about it because it happens with soccer players all the time.
Did they leave and then just never pay their taxes?
Yeah.
Well, France didn't charge them like 70% of their purse. They're talking about that. Just a baseball player changed cities, and he'll keep like $3.5 million that he's not going to be paying in taxes. That's what I want to talk about. Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view is $89.95 and $100 for HD.
That's what Pacquiao was.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was $100. That's why I made sure everybody paid an ace, man. Yeah,
Why would anyone ever pay $100 for a pay-per-view?
I can see why the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, I can see that.
Maybe a year before.
You're going to get enough people together to watch it. There was a ton of people in Aces.
Because no one wanted to pay for it?
No, you just want to watch it with friends. It's an event. It's like the Super Bowl. If the Super Bowl is $100, people would pay it. We just so happen to have advertising. Because you get people together. It's almost like Christmas. It's an event. It's just a sporting event, in my opinion. But anyways.
Do you think it gets more buys than the Pacquiao fight?
I don't.
At $100 a piece?
I think it's going to be less than what they expect.
Less than the $4.4 million?
I don't think it's going to touch Pacquiao Mayweather.
I bet that it wouldn't. I put $5 on the fact that it wouldn't break the pay-per-view record.
I don't. $4.4 million. I really don't think it will. We should do a serious campaign for Stream TV now so that...
For what?
This, so it's... Just edit this out.
That show should not be named.
Edit this out.
You've heard nothing.
I don't think it's going to be... I don't think it's going to do as good as... Listen to Mayweather's camp. They're trying desperately to legitimize Conor.
Mm-hmm.
You've got fast hands. Shut the hell up.
Look at that, man.
Testing the integrity of that that unitard.
Yeah, why did he turn it the opposite way? It doesn't make any sense. So I'm looking at the Reddit.
People do that all the
Reddit
time. You do
GIF of Yoel Romero when he was in the Olympics.
When you have uniforms, especially like that, it happens in football all the time. You do anything that makes you stand out a little bit.
I guess that makes sense.
It's just your thing, you know. But
I'm my own thing.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to do as well, which is fine. I'm still going to watch it. I'm going to pay $100 for it. And you're going to help me pay for that?
Yes.
If anybody...
Everyone else
there's
too.
No further questions.
I don't have an Amazon Fire Stick. It does not exist. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. If you need an affiliate link to Stream TV Now, just... we really appreciate it. We will be back next week. And tune in after we watch Gunnar Nelson put someone to sleep and then fall asleep himself inside the octagon.
Can I please get a pillow in here? Fight of the night winner gets a pillow.
All right, guys. Bye.
Thanks.